is Emily Wright, Tech Editor and Head of Special Projects at EG, and we're still here. I can't remember how many times I've said that now, more than I'd like to count, I think. We've been here for a while, but the main thing is we are still here, and I'm joined today by the marvellous Sam McClary. How are you?
I was going to say very well, but actually I'm very tired, if I'm honest.
But honesty.
I'm well as well, but I'm very tired.
It's been a busy, well, I say it's been a busy week, it's been a busy month, it's been a busy year. So maybe it's all just cumulative, but it has been a particularly busy week, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think just every week feels like it gets busier and busier, and I don't know why. And I can't remember who I was speaking to today, but I said I just want it to stop. just for a minute, just so I can breathe.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are feeling that way, actually. It's funny, I've got a few people that I speak to regularly, obviously of the team and you, but externally as well, contacts I speak to regularly. And I've noticed that everybody goes through their own pattern, and some days and some weeks, people are having a great time and, you know, they're really feeling very productive and they're getting a lot done. And then some days you can just tell they're just not feeling it and they're going through the motions and they're wishing they could be anywhere other than on a call with, well, maybe it's me. I thought that maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe they just don't want to speak to me.
No, I think there are phases, aren't there? I had, maybe 2 weeks ago now, but I went through a phase of where I was just really angry at everyone, and then I got really angry at myself because I don't believe in anger as an emotion. I think it's a really pointless emotion because it doesn't bring any benefit to anyone. It just makes you tired and grumpy and not a very nice person. And there was no real reason for me to be angry. It's just, I think you get sort of pent up, don't you, when you're sort of locked in, not them locked in my office at home, but you just feel a bit penned in. Mm-hmm. It was nice this week actually to be penned out, if that's a word, be released from the pen.
Yeah, released into the wild. Let's talk about that. Yeah. I think it'll be great to go over some of the news in a minute. But before we do that, let's pick up on what you were saying, because you've been let out this week. Mm-hmm. And I've been considering some of the unique benefits of taking something that's normally very sociable and in person and putting it online. Not saying that it's the way forward forever, but just saying that it's a pretty good alternative, actually. But let's start with the getting out and about part first, and that's where you come in. You had a very exciting Wednesday, I believe.
I did have a very exciting Wednesday. I went for a breakfast. Do you remember them?
Well, not beyond my kitchen, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's breakfast, which is what we have at home, but going for a breakfast is quite wonderful. And it wasn't in a restaurant. And it wasn't even in, I went to see Savills, it wasn't even in their cafe, because they're not fully operational there. But it was in a meeting room, and there were mini croissants and apple juice and, you know, yogurt and fruit and all that lovely stuff, and copious amounts of coffee. And it was wonderful, really wonderful, just to engage with people in real life and have that kind of conversation that even you and I, Emily, can't have over Teams, you know, as well as we know each other. Mm. There's still something that's missing that you just get when you're with someone, because you can read body language and it's just easier to be a bit more humorous maybe and just a bit more relaxed. And
sounds like you're saying I'm not funny, which
which is true. I am saying that, but you know what I mean, you kind of, and there's a way that in a physical setting you feed off each other. That's wrong.
Feed off each other's mini croissant, yeah, just following people around and taking bites out of their croissant.
Yeah, that's generally what I do.
And that is funny, even over MS Teams. What an image I have in my head now. So sorry, do continue.
I've kind of lost my train now, but it was great. And so I guess it was my first in real life meeting since early March, and I was really excited about it when I first thought, oh, I could go and do that. And then Wednesday morning when I woke up and I thought, oh, I have to get on a train, I have to wear a mask, I suddenly thought, oh, actually, is this the right thing to do? Is it safe? All that sort of stuff. But very quickly, I realized that, of course, it is safe, and you just have to be sensible. And, you know, the train was okay. It was quiet out in the sticks where I am. But as soon as you got in towards sort of zone six type territory, people started getting on the train, but it wasn't empty, but it wasn't full, but it felt really normal. It was just normal with people wearing face masks. And then London was not the ghost town I was hoping it was gonna be, because I took my bike with me as well. But you know, there were plenty of cars around. You know, there were fewer people who went in London to work. So, you know, there's just no tourism. And going through Oxford Street at 8 a.m. was obviously really empty. But by the time I was leaving Oxford Street, there were queues for Selfridges, which, you know, is encouraging. And it just felt normal, and the normalcy of it just it really pepped me up, actually, and made me think that what we're doing now is not normal, and it's functional, but it's definitely not ideal. And I really do crave the company of other people, and in this job and in this industry that feeds so much off of each other, whether that's croissants or information.
Mainly croissants.
It's really vital. And I think we have to start getting back, even if it's small steps. And yes, we do have to make sure that we put people first. And yes, we do have to be sensible, but we can't get used to this as the new normal, because it's not normal, and I don't think it's healthy. And that is my speech.
It's a very good speech.
Thanks.
A very good speech. I liked it. I enjoyed it. And
but you're going to counter it.
No, I'm not actually. I'm not going to counter it. I'm going to suggest that we carry some of the lessons that I think we've learned, or I hope people are learning, and some of the benefits that we've been able to get in the short term, if we're going to be looking at the silver linings, from the virtual into the real. That's what I want. So I will elaborate. All of this week, Cretec and Future PropTech have been hosting their online summit, Reimagining Real Estate. Now, I know a bit about it because I was the co-chair of that event, kind of on the European side of things, and I'm aware of just how much work went into it, because there was an awful lot of work that happened before it was staged to make sure that the, you know, time zones all matched up and that connectivity issues were sorted out. And I was really impressed, and I think it's been an excellent event, actually, and really informative and really encouraging to have, you know, 125 speakers of the caliber they had, and to have the number of people they had signing up, and to create something that really did feel like you were learning and gaining insight, and also doing a bit of networking as much as you possibly could on that virtual platform. So I was impressed, and I thought, well, that's great, because while we miss those real events, and I think that people will flock back to them, I really do. I don't see this being like spelling the end of, you know, in-person events at all. I think if anything, it's just highlighted how much we miss them and the stuff that you just can't get from being online. There are a few things that I thought were quite important to take away as positives. Not everybody can get to those events, even when they are being staged. Sometimes they are overseas and that's just not practical, or sometimes something comes up and you can't make it. So I hope that we'll be able to keep those events open to a much wider audience in the future so that you can be there in person. But also there's a really, mature online platform for people to join. So I think that would be good and will be really helpful for kind of inclusivity and helping as many people attend as possible. But the other thing that I've really noticed, and I think at the moment this is an online only attribute, is that because so many people, and they are kind of big industry names as well, were dialing in or speaking on stage, in inverted commas, from home, they were much more open because they were very relaxed. And also it gave everybody a bit of an insight into their worlds. So you can see what kind of book collections they've got behind them and what kind of art they like. And it sounds really snoopy, doesn't it? But I don't mean it that way. I mean, it's just really uniting. And I think for an industry that's been trying for a very long time to become more inclusive, more compassionate, more kind, less hierarchical, it's been really great to have that kind of, not intimacy, that's definitely the wrong word, but that kind of insight into the lives of these people that not only we work with, but that, you know, the decision makers and the thought leaders. So my point is that when things do go back to a much more normal way of living, so you're right, this isn't normal, being cooped up and not being able to interact, I just hope that people bring the confidence that they found to speak more openly at home with them onto stages and don't feel like, you know, hemmed in by the corporate environment. It's something quite different, I suppose, sitting up on a stage in front of a live audience in a kind of anonymous events venue. And I think that kind of makes people, you know, stick much more to the party line and just be quite not dry, because I've seen lots of excellent people saying excellent things at events, but just a bit less human. So that's what I hope. So I kind of hope that we can return to the way life really should be, which is, you know, you choose when you interact with people and you can be flexible about it rather than, you know, being sort of forced into an environment where we have to take a step back. But also people can take some of the lessons that we've learned, or I hope we've learned, and just be a bit more human. Those are my thoughts.
They are good thoughts, and I'm going to use a phrase that I absolutely hate, but I think it's relevant here, and it's about, isn't it? It's about it makes me feel a little.
You're going to say bridging the gap?
No, I'm going to say it's. I hope that people bring their authentic self to, which I really hate. I'm really sorry. Back to in real life, because I think you are right. Which also I have trouble saying. because I think people have been more human over video calls where you get to see into their lives, and it's, you know, I think that's certainly happened with us as a team, you know, all looking into each other's homes and how people are coping with that. And I know from, you know, the conversations that I've had, senior leaders have spoken more with members of their team or at all levels throughout this pandemic, because it's been accessible and, you know, through Teams, through phone calls that were there before, but we never really thought about them. So I think it has. And like you, I really hope that it has brought out the humanness in us and the real person that we are, not necessarily the person we are when we are playing that role that we play in the office, which, you know, I'll admit that in the past I've been a different Sam in a work setting than I would be at home, and I hope that those lines have blurred a little bit more now that I'm more authentic in the office.
I agree. I think there have been very clear cut lines, haven't there, between work and home, and some of those lines obviously shouldn't be crossed, and that's why, you know, when we first started lockdown there were lots of videos of people forgetting that they had their Zoom on, you know, wandering around in their towels and stuff. I mean, that's for home, isn't it? but there's so much stuff that we leave at home when we come into the office that really maybe we shouldn't, you know. And I completely agree, and I think that people are understanding each other a lot more as a result of what's happened. And it's just about finding the silver lining. And while I wouldn't say that, oh well, you know, it's better this way because everybody's much more human, because eventually everyone's going to become quite droid-like if you continue down this path of not ever having face-to-face interaction. But wouldn't it be good if we could take that lesson and, you know, then take the positives we've found in this virtual world back into the real one? Double win.
Double win.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I don't have a problem with people wandering around in their towels. It's when they're wandering around not in their towels that you've got the real problems.
We've all seen
that video.
Yeah. The problem with someone running around in a towel is it's like the gateway drug to not having a towel. It's like, you know, you can't be wandering around in your clothes and accidentally not be wearing them, but you can be wandering around in a towel and accidentally not be wearing it. Do you know what I mean? It happens very quickly. It'll make me very nervous.
Yeah.
So luckily no one on our team has done that yet. Not yet, there's still time. It's good insights from us there. I think we've done ourselves proud. Well done us. Shall we talk a little bit about the news as well? Because I know people like to tune in to hear about what's been going on.
Yeah, let's talk about. Oh, look, there's human life happening in this call. That's my husband just walked through the front door. So apologies if you hear a hello. But authenticity and all that in the news this week. So we were, if people have been waiting for their paper edition of the EG.
You're waiting a long time.
You will be waiting a long time, as forewarned in the leader last week. We are digital only this week. So just the app edition, but still plenty of news in there. In fact, I would say you probably get more in the digital edition because we don't have the constraints of page numbers. But despite it being August and lots of people heading off down to Cornwall and Devon by the sounds of things, there's still plenty going on. So we had big news from the Weston family this week. So that's the family that own Selfridges and Fortnum and Mason. And they are getting into co-living, apparently, in Croydon. Who would have thought? But yeah, they're planning a big co-living scheme down in there. So that's their Whittington Investments, which is one of the family offices of the Weston Group. We had lots of resi news actually this week with our resi guru Emma Rosser, who is a regular on this podcast.
She is actually, yeah. She's become a we're still here. Well, I was going to say a regular. That's what you said. Ignore me.
Icon. Who knows? Anyway, yeah. But she has been absolutely flying on the resi stories this week. So Selfridges and Croydon co-living. She revealed Pick agreeing a BTR debut at New Victoria. 1,200 homes being developed at a former police training ground. Some bad news for IM Properties having to make a third of their housing division redundant. And then Homes England not quite getting there on its gender pay gap. And then we had also this week big London investment news. So Link making its UK debut in Canary Wharf with spending £380 million. So the market is not dead. LaSalle has put a scheme in Southwark up for sale. That's a scheme that sits next door to a new Landsec development down on the South Bank as well, which is going to be the first sort of net zero carbon commercial development, which is exciting. And in more sustainability news this week, we had a podcast and story with Derwent London about their pathway to being net carbon zero. And if anyone wants to listen to that discussion, it will be on this very channel. So do have a listen into that. But they, you know, they've set themselves a really tough target of being net zero within the next 10 years. So they've got to work really hard and, you know, almost run down that pathway to be net zero. So it'll be really interesting to follow them along the way. They pioneer quite a lot of things, Derwent, don't they? So it will be an interesting story to follow. And yeah, I mean, lots and lots going on. It's not really the quiet August months yet, and we will be back in print next week. So if people do like the feel of turning a page, do not worry, we will return.
We will return, and next week we're back with the halo effect section as well. So our tech section in the magazine, obviously putting together some of the top stories, news, analysis, and trends from Halo, our tech and innovation platform, and also some great interviews coming up off the back of the CreTech Future PropTech Conference, to a degree, but speaking to kind of the heads of tech at Prologis. These are the global heads of tech at Prologis, Oxford Properties and CBRE. And then we've also got a follow-up interview with Edge. We did speak to Edge previously for the Halo Effect. We've got another interview with them, somebody different in their team, now that Amsterdam has sort of so successfully returned to the office. Looking at why that might be, and how Edge, which is obviously well known for its smart buildings and building data, has used all of that to its advantage to help people back safely, which, you know, I think London is a fair few steps behind that, but certainly looking in that direction. So lots to learn there. So check it out.
It's a bumper issue next week as well, actually, because it's got Halo. Got the coverage from our Future of Leeds sessions from last week, and the London office market analysis for Q2, which, you know, no surprises here, it was a quiet quarter. But
why was it so quiet?
I'm not sure, I think something happened, but some interesting insights in that of what we can expect going forward. So we'll be teasing you all with some little bits and bobs from that during the week. Some of the league tables of who's been the most active agent in a quiet quarter in different submarkets. But do make sure that you pick up the mag for that, or log on to egi.co.uk/news on Thursday when you can read it all.
Brilliant. Couldn't have said it better myself. And yeah, on that note, we should maybe, you know, wrap up and enjoy the rest of the week. Not much of it, but and gear up for another busy week next week. And we will definitely be back next Friday with We're Still Here. And before we wrap up, and I'm gonna touch on something here, is that in the last two podcasts that we've done together, as I've been wrapping up, you've said, oh, can I say one more thing? And I think I just keep cutting you off too early. So before I wrap up, is there anything else you wanted to say? No.
I think this might be the one time where I haven't got one more thing to say.
Okay.
As soon as you say we're still here, I'll probably think of something.
Probably. Well, if you do, feel free to interrupt. But if not, then I think we are about to wrap up. So thank you so much for joining me today, Sam. Always a pleasure to chat to you. And looking forward to next week's We're Still Here. And we'll see you all. We won't see any of you then, but you know what I mean. We'll catch up with you all then. Goodbye.
Should we get a croissant?
What, now?
Yeah.
Let's go and have a croissant, but you can't have any of mine. You feed off your own.